What we used to force ourselves to remember, we don't have to anymore. Digital memory and instant access do it for us. Memory, and even more specifically memorization, of a poem, a piece of music, a speech, has a different place in the world. What place? We don't even really know yet. It used to be a nearly unbroken rule that solo pianists, for example, played concerts from memory, and ensembles played from the score. Lately, it's been loosening up.
I don't think you really know a piece until you know it, in a sense, from memory. But the actual moment that you're on stage, there are definitely some people who will play better if they have a score in front of them than not.
The pianist Stephen Huff, who's written about the subject, says he does it both ways, and it's risky either way. You can get too comfortable if you keep the score in front of you. You can get too nervous if you don't. Playing from memory frees you from the page, but...
The downside of that, of course, is that you're worried about forgetting instead of thinking about the music.
So, into this consideration, you'd have to loop the Chiara String Quartet, now deeply engaged in memorization as part of their music making, even though, as a quartet, there are several people playing, entering, alternating, resting, and so on, and it's complicated. Undaunted, the four players of the Chiara jumped into memorizing as the solution, they thought, to a problem. It started with Brahms a few years ago. Rebecca Fischer, the first violinist in the group, says they were dissatisfied with their first try on a recording of Brahms string quartets.
I think that we experienced a lack of spontaneity. Things seemed a little bit too planned and a little too drilled in, if that makes sense, almost as if we needed a wider gaze.
I felt as though having the music in front of us was kind of inhibiting some of our freedom.
Their second violinist, Hae-yung Julie Yoon, thought, if that's the case, why not try to play a different way?
And I thought, oh, let's try a smaller section where we try it by memory and see what happens.
Memorize their parts, throw away the music, play it by heart.
And that's where our journey started with us.
The result was a recording called Brahms by Heart. Emboldened by their success with Brahms, they took a dive into deeper, more complicated waters, Bartok. Now, I think anyone who memorizes even a phone number knows that patterns are so helpful. The same number repeating or recurring or some recognizable thing you can hang your memory on. And the Chiara folks initially had to struggle with Bartok, which is not nearly as friendly to the memory as the more familiar patterns and rhythms of Brahms. What you expect might happen doesn't necessarily happen. As in this passage that they found wandered in an unusual way. The violist in the group, Jonas Sirota, gave me a close-up of that moment.
So the idea that kind of gets started sounds like this. And it repeats that a few times. And then all of a sudden, we all end up kind of evolving it.
Naturally, in the process, they got to know the music inside out, heard it in a new way, in fact, says the Chiara's cellist, Gregory Beaver, who found Bartok very modern and a bit strident at first.
But as we've played it more and more and become steeped in the musical language, the notes he chose, the sequences of notes, the harmonies, it doesn't feel that different from the music that I grew up being used to.
Still, it is very complicated to memorize. You have to know your own parts. You have to know the other three parts, too, more or less. And everyone memorizes at a different rate and in a different way.
We're four very strong individuals. We're a very kind of democratic group. And one of the things that I think we've also really liked about this is that the challenge of it is equally interesting to all of us. And we've really taken this up. It hits us each at a level that is engaging for each of us.
The whole question of memorizing music, it is well known, began with Clara Schumann and continued with Franz Liszt and completely took hold in the latter half of the 19th century. The art of solo performance of the music of various composers by a musician who hadn't necessarily written the music but was just there to interpret it was a whole new idea. I can imagine it must have been thrilling to see a virtuoso pianist or violinist like Liszt or Paganini magically project a performer's mystique without relying on the notes on the page, as if Catherine Cornell or Olivier or whomever you want to choose to visualize had always read their parts and then suddenly threw away the book, looked into your eyes, and played to the crowd with a new passion and vigor. Curiously, about 180 years after musical memory first became an issue, it seems this abandon is a little bit of what the Chiara is searching for. It's not a stunt. It's not even completely about memory. It's a sense of wanting the group to have the same freedom and power as a solo performer and to know the most about each other and the music they can know.
The feeling that we can then really challenge one another in the music making, because there's nothing, you know, to prevent us, you know, nothing, no page to get stuck sort of staring at.
Now that they've tried it, they seem genuinely hooked, at least for the moment.
We don't know.
I think people get older.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to get older, we know that, but we don't know where our lives will take us and where our journey will take us.
But for the near future, we're definitely committing to this.
So when it comes to memory, don't forget, it's still a factor in music and in life, for individuals and groups. For Fishko Files, I'm Sarah Fishko.